T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday afternoon. It's also the beginning of March. Now, you and I invariably are subject to all sorts of scams. And in March, we pay particularly close attention to the scams that are hitting us. And I will tell you that for the last couple of years, we've really, really been thrilled to welcome in Mike Romano, who's with the United States Postal Inspection Service. He's the leader of our group of postal inspectors here in Central Virginia, and invariably has the latest information and generally speaking, some pretty good advice on how to avoid this stuff. Mike, I appreciate you being here.
Jeff, thanks for having me on once again. It's always great to be on the show.
Oh, it is always our pleasure. So give me a sense, Mike, just what sorts of stuff do we need to be on the lookout for now?
Well, as you said, Jeff, it is the beginning of National Consumer Protection Week, a presidential declaration since 1998 to really raise awareness for consumers about fraud scams, and there are so many out there. So we started on Sunday, and we're going till next Sunday, the 28th through the 7th of March, is National Consumer Protection Week, and we're going to team up with the Federal Trade Commission. And this year's theme, and it's an important theme because we are seeing a fair amount of this in our area of responsibility, is don't be a mule. And, you know, we're not telling you not to be an animal with four legs there. Don't be a mule is a money mule. And for those of you who are not aware of what a money mule is, it's people who receive and transfer money obtained through victims of fraud. So they're an unknowing participant in the scam, and ultimately they are part of the problem in the scam. So our message this year is really targeting these individuals to let them know they're not working from home, they're not involved in these jobs, and they really are a major part of the scam, and they need to stop.
All right, well, now explain to me how somebody could be an unwitting money mule.
Yeah, correct. So a lot of these things start in other type of scams. So I've already mentioned the work from home scam. You know, people go on websites and thinking that they're working from home. And let's be clear, in this pandemic, it's not uncommon to try and look for a job where you don't have to be out in the workplace. So these scams are popping up quite regularly. So a work from home scam, these confidence scams where these things look very legitimate on official letterhead or a web page to look very legitimate. Lottery scams, which we've talked a lot about on your show, where someone's won money and they've got to collect a prize and they have to put money. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about romance scams, which are definitely popping up in our area. But in any case, the theme will be you're working from home, for example, and envelopes will be coming in with postage and things like that, and you're ultimately told to put money in that envelope and send it to another individual. That other individual is told to put additional money in the envelope, and the scheme will go around the country several times to avoid detection from law enforcement until some point they're going to hit a terminal, and that individual may be complicit with the scam or also may not be, but they'll be told to actually wire money out of the country, and that's kind of where that scam ends.
Wow. So is all the money going to some prince in Nigeria, or has it somehow evolved a little bit more than that?
It depends, quite frankly, where it might end up. It could end up in West Africa. It could end up in the UK. It could end up in Canada. And our lottery and sweepstakes scams also tend to end up in Jamaica. But an overwhelming majority of these will end up out of the country.
Mike Romano is joining us from the United States Postal Inspection Service. We are in the midst of Consumer Protection Week, Consumer Protection Awareness Week, and you mentioned the romance scams. Look, the fact is, the last year people have been locked up in their homes, Mike. There are a lot of people thinking, well, you know, it'd be nice to have a friend or a pen pal or some contact with the outside world. And you're telling me once again the criminals amongst us are preying on those folks.
And they are, and they always do. Anytime there's a disaster or some sort of major crisis, these scammers are going to find a new way in. Romance scams seem to be where it's at. And yeah, it will happen just like you said, Jeff, that they will contact them online or via text message, make some statements that they want to be with you and that they want to be near you, or they need to end up getting somebody over to the United States, and ultimately they need money to do that. Now, you might say I might not fall for something like that, but these guys are getting good, and they're actually starting to use fake videos with other people in them. And these videos will be sent electronically to make it look like this is a legitimate person who's sending a personalized message to you, and that they need money so that they can come over and be. And they are preying upon individuals in this time.
You know, my wife is involved. She's got a number of friends in England, and in this group, there's one particular woman who is convinced, she is absolutely convinced, that a member of a Korean boy band is in a relationship with her and is invariably asking for money. He needs money for this. He needs money to travel to England to meet her. He needs money for this. And the other members of the group have honestly said to her, and I won't use her name, but, you know, so-and-so, listen, if he really were this tremendous rock star, he wouldn't be asking you to send £1,000. But she otherwise is a bright person. She's relatively savvy. But, Mike, she has fallen hook, line, and sinker to the tune of, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 British pounds.
Yep.
Yeah, it's painful. Yep.
Well, as we often say in this line of work, and if I had a nickel for it every time I said it, I'd be a millionaire. But it's if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. And these guys will work every angle to make themselves more believable. And even at the point where someone might be trying to, you know, not have the contact with this, that's when these guys will get aggressive.
And here in the States, we see, if I understand it correctly, the members of the military and our senior population are disproportionately targeted, are they not?
They definitely are. Our military, just based upon the nature of the job, and just based upon so many veterans out there, they are targeted. And there's a lot of scams out there that might involve the VA or medicine or something specific to veterans. So it's easy to fall for a phishing scam, something targeted at the military. And then, of course, you bring up the older population, which, you know, some of these scams that I've talked about, whether it's lottery, confidence, the romance scams, you know, they are kind of targeting more to your elderly population and, you know, hitting right at home where the heart is, or preying upon someone who's, you know, got Alzheimer's or some situation like that.
Now, you mentioned the lottery scams, and they seem to be based, for the most part, in Jamaica. Here's what I'm not fully understanding. If somebody calls up and says, hey, Mike, congratulations, you've won $1 million. Exactly how are they getting money from you when you are allegedly winning the money?
So the lottery scam kind of turns into what we call an advanced fee scam, which started a long time ago in West Africa, but ultimately you would have to pay a portion of the money, or they will say that the money is actually international, but you have to pay taxes for it to cross into the United States border. So they'll come up with some sort of ruse that requires you to pay money up front, and it may start off with just a couple $100, and then, you know, eventually, if they keep you on the line long enough or keep coming back to you, that $100 can turn into thousands of dollars, as in the case that you presented.
So my question then becomes, how do they get their money? Look, if they're in Jamaica and they say to me, Mr. Katz, you've won the Irish sweepstakes, right? And you're entitled to $1 million, but it's going to cost you $250 American to pay these fees and what have you. Am I putting it on a charge card? Am I writing a check? Am I being asked to stick money in an envelope and hope it gets there?
Most of the stuff that we see involves actually putting cash in the mail, which, of course, we tell anybody never to put cash in the mail. But there are other scams where they'll tell them to go get a prepaid credit card and give them the information over the phone. And then for legitimacy purposes, they will tell the individual to go ahead and put that in a mail piece. In those situations where they use some sort of card transaction, what we find out is once that information is given on the phone, the card is completely wiped out, and the putting the card in a mail piece is really just a formality. It doesn't really matter whether it gets to them or not. They've already got the information digitally, and they're already cleaning that account out.
And a little bit closer to home, and we have talked particularly around the holidays about the so-called porch pirates, but there are also folks who look at our mailboxes as their own personal ATMs, right?
Well, and that's, you know, that's something that we are always around the clock trying to prevent. And while, you know, the Postal Service delivers 181.9 million pieces of mail, processes and delivers each day, you know, I tell people with confidence, 99.9% of the time, your mail is going to get there without an issue. However, you know, theft is a crime of opportunity, as it always can be, and that, you know, in certain situations, what you should do in those situations is maybe take your letter inside to the post office, drop it in a blue collection box, hand it to a mail carrier specifically, take it to your place of business. If you can dump that piece of mail anywhere logically that you can see it getting into the mail stream right away where it wouldn't be picked up by somebody else, it's always going to be that more secure.
Yeah. And how does the Postal Inspection Service come to be part of this? The crime somehow has to touch the system, right?
That's correct. And we've got primary jurisdiction over any crime that involves the U.S. Mail or the U.S. Postal Service. So mail theft is a crime. So ultimately, we work a lot of identity theft type cases, too, that don't actually involve mail theft. But, for example, if someone applies for a credit card using your information, well, that credit card's got to get to your house some way. If that comes through the mail and that credit card is intercepted while it's in transit through the mail, that becomes a mail crime, and now we'll have jurisdiction, and we can investigate that crime.
Fair enough. Now, Mike, you know that I have a lot of friends who are with a variety of law enforcement agencies, federal, state, municipal, and I got to tell you, to a person, invariably, they talk about the professionalism and the talent that is found at the Postal Inspection Service. So you guys, you know, you turn a lot of heads.
Well, look, we appreciate that. And I've said it before, the relationships that we have with all of law enforcement throughout Central Virginia, Chesterfield, Henrico, Richmond, Hanover, I could keep naming all of our surrounding counties. But something that I've seen here, and I've been on assignments throughout the country, the working relationship with state, federal, local law enforcement in this area is something that the citizens really should be proud of. There's information sharing. I will get a call from a chief of police who's having an issue in his area involving the mail theft or something along those lines. And everyone just works together. Everyone picks up, works together, and that's truly what it's all about.
Mike, for folks who are hearing this and thinking, all right, I really do need to educate myself a little bit more. I know you guys revamped your website a while back. What is that the best way for them to read more, learn more?
tons of information on the website. We are really engaging a lot with these public service announcements. They are available, links from the website. We have our own YouTube page. Locally, I've got a Twitter page here for the Richmond folks, and I push all of our case alerts out, and anything that involves our public service announcements that are coming out, we push some stuff for the holiday. We do have our Money Mule Initiative PSA, and so at USPIS_RIC is our Richmond Twitter handle, and we push a lot of information out there.
All right. Well, listen, I want to make sure folks learn as much as they can. It's always my pleasure to have you here, Mike. Appreciate it, and please give our best to your great crew.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
You got it. That is Mike Romano. He's the team leader for the United States Postal Inspection Service here in Central Virginia. And, yep, it is that time of year. Now, you should always be on guard, right? Let's not kid ourselves. We should always be taking precautions. But this first week in March is Consumer Protection Awareness Week. So just a reminder to try and be cognizant of what is going on. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.